Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that even thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Even as a father pitieth with compassion his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knows our frame, and He remembers that we are of the dust. As for man, his days are as the grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. But then the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. And bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. But finally, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Father God, we're here today to bless You. That's an amazing thing. What could we do for You? How is it that we could bring pleasure to You? How could we bring pleasure to Your soul, to Your heart, to Your face? Lord God, we thank You that it's Your will that we bless You. You have chosen us. And there is no one that can bless like we can bless. There is no one, not the stars, not the lilies of the valley, not the sunset, not the mountains, not the whole of the animal kingdom can bless the Lord like us. We have been created, now recreated, and destined to be those that learn to praise God, heart, soul, and body, in every way, to make known how great Thou art. There is a way which has been given uniquely among men that we can bring pleasure to You. We don't even understand that. We just know that someday we'll see how powerful, how important, and how necessary it was. And this morning it's our desire to do just that, to bless You with all of our heart. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, the Bible says, O my soul. David is the psalmist, and David, he's talking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? You ever get a hold of yourself, you know, sort of by the scruff of the neck, and say, listen here, what's wrong with you? Isn't everything all right? You know, and you know, you're feeling kind of blue, kind of downcast. You get a hold of yourself. That's what David was doing. He's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, what's his soul? Well, that's his inside, so to speak. It's kind of like his person, his self. He says, David, will you bless the Lord? David, bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, everything that's in me, bless His holy name. Well, what's in him? Well, he's got a mind. Did you know that you can love God with your mind? Did you know that you don't have to be dumb to worship God? Did you know that? Some people think that it's more blessed to be ignorant. That's right. Jesus was not ignorant. Jesus was an extremely wise person and extremely well-informed. He was not ignorant. So you don't have to be ignorant to be spiritual. Sometimes people think if you're smart, you couldn't be spiritual because you're too smart. That's not true at all. Because we're to worship God with all of our mind. When we go to school, is that bad? Now, I know why people say that. It's because people that get smart have a temptation to think they're smart. Right? They think they know everything. It never happened to me or anything like that, but I mean, there are some people that think they know it all, you know. Starts about age, you know. How old is Margaret? You know, she already knows what she wants. You know, get stubborn sometimes. Does your baby do that? Never. No. Yes, no. Well, praise the Lord. But bless the Lord, all my mind. You know, God wants, don't be ashamed of you. If you have a good mind, if your mind works well, you don't have to think that's unspiritual. Hey, God gave you that mind. You think, well, you know, I'll get proud because I think well. That's not true. I mean, that could be a temptation, but God gave you that mind to think well. God wants you to bless him with your mind. Isn't that true? You can bless God by using your mind, not by being kind of a dud. Hello? Now, this has nothing to do with IQ. You know, that's silly stuff anyway. I don't believe all that baloney. Hello? I don't believe that baloney. Jesus gave us all good minds, okay? The thing is, we get confused. Not intellectually. Well, it's an intellectual thing too. But we get confused emotionally. And we get confused by teachings and different things. And that's why a lot of us don't think right. But we all have a fine mind. You know, you've been given the mind of Christ if you're a Christian. Amen? Anyway, one of the things God wants you to do is to worship him with all your mind. I mean, you don't have to produce anything. Wisdom in this world is not being a smart aleck who can build a bridge. Wisdom is doing whatever God told you to do. Wisdom is doing whatever God told you to do. It's seeing things from God's point of view. Wisdom is looking at everything from heaven. Now, we're wise. You know why? Because the Bible, which is a revelation from heaven, it's the wisdom of God, has come down to earth. I mean, it was a living thing up there. It may not seem this way to you, but it was then brought down and revealed to us. Now we know how God looks at things. We know the ways of God. We know all about God. We know all that we need to know. No, you don't know everything, but you don't need to know everything. But you know everything you need to know about everything you need to know everything about. That's right. So this will make you wise. Wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. So wisdom is not knowing a lot of things. Wisdom is knowing how to live a godly life. That's wisdom. Wisdom is living God's way. Seeing it as he sees it and doing it as he does it. You know, you've got to get right in there with God. You've been united with him to participate with God. Well, one thing is, for getting out all his benefits, Lord, I want to bless you with all my soul. That means all my mind. It also means my emotions. If I'm depressed, can I worship God? No. Well, I could say yes too. In this way, you don't have to give in to the depression. You know, so you can feel depressed and still worship God.
Glory to God. Glory to God, you know.
Glory to God, you know, and you can get rid of the depression that way. Do you know if you can do that? I don't mean just faking it, but you have to believe you're born again. But you can actually throw off feelings. Did you know that? You can just conquer them. You don't have to give in to feelings. God wants you to bless him. Now, this doesn't bless God.
Glory to God.
That doesn't bless God. God wants to be blessed with all of your mind and with all of your emotional state. In other words, fear is out. Tension is out. Worry is out. Self-pity is out. Envy is out, etc., etc., etc. What's in? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those. Those are in. Now, that's what God wants from you, so that other stuff, leave it alone. Don't regard it. Just forget it, because that's not who you really are. So do you realize right now you are happy? How many know that you're happy? Now, how many feel happy? I hope that's a different group, because you can be happy but not feel happy. You can feel miserable. Feelings come and go. Have you ever noticed that? You can be worshiping God and just really caught up in Him, and all of a sudden this awful thought comes, or a terrible depressing feeling can just come on you. Did you know that can happen? You can just be so in love with God. Oh, God, I just love You. And you can just be so caught up emotionally. I'm talking about emotion now. You can be caught up emotionally in God, and all of a sudden, boom, you can be hit with a big weight. Boy, I've experienced that. Especially sometimes just when you're so exalted in God. A lot of people are real smart. You know, these are the smart people again. They figure out this. I'm never going to get real happy, then I won't get real down. You know? I used to do that. I used to never get real, real happy and never get real, real down. You know, keep an even keel. You know, I kind of, you know, controlled it. That was very clever. You know, I defended myself from a lot of hurt. But I also defended myself from loving. I defended myself from life. I defended myself into the grave. There's nothing to it then. Emotions are part of me. I have an emotional self, right? Now, most Christians are afraid of emotion. They're afraid if they ever let out that first yelp, they'll get carried away. You know, they really are. And I can understand that because they probably would. We can have the weirdest things happen, you know. But that's all right. Let God control you. Don't control yourself. Jesus sometimes, you know, it says in the Bible that He was heard for His loud cries. How do you think of that? Loud cries, you know. Now, the Greek is different than the English. When the Greek wants to say loud, it knows how to say loud, you know. It doesn't just say medium. The Greek knows how to say it soft, you know, pianissimo, you know, the whole thing. And it knows all the way. When He says loud, Jesus used to cry loud. Now, He would not make a good Lutheran, a good Episcopalian, a good Presbyterian. Now, He would be out in those, they would ask Him to leave. Out. But He's welcome here. You can be loud. Given moments, you know, I guess. There are times and places. But you see, there is a time and a place for us to be emotionally excited, right? To have balloons pop and to run around and to wave flags and so on. Many of us are afraid of that because we've seen the abuses. I understand that, but don't be smart. David danced before the Lord. Remember that? You know, he was dancing before the Lord, and Michael, his wife, looked out the window and saw him, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story because you know it, but she saw him and she despised him. Ugh. Oh, you know, a raving Pentecostal, you know, it's sad. And you know what? I think she was barren. Wasn't she barren from that point on? Anyway, you know, hey, don't do that. Don't be barren. Don't be afraid. You know, David wasn't emotionalistic. He was emotional. I distinguish between, because the Bible distinguished between getting caught up in emotion and being emotional for the Lord. There is a way of being emotional in the flesh. Some people whip it up, you know, if you play the right hymns, you know, on the organ. Just as, you know, and it can kind of whip you up emotionally. Now, that could be bad or it could be good. It could be good. Only you know. It depends on where your eye is. If your eye is on the Lord, even if you didn't feel it, you could still, as you're listening to the Lord, you could still praise the Lord and shout and so on, even if you didn't feel it. You see, you're not a hypocrite. You say the organ is playing it, and you could get right into it emotionally. You're supposed to. That's right. That's correct. That's called faith. Faith is not seeing. Faith is doing without seeing, right? But it's in faith on His word. I'm not doing it because I feel it. That might just be some fish I had for breakfast or something. You know, just, oh, I feel something. You know, might be just something coming up. See, that, and then people get all excited. Oh, the Lord spoke. You know, it might not be the Lord at all. You see? But it's based on faith that God said something. All right, bless the Lord. This is going to bless God when you bless Him with all of your mind. When He says, bless the Lord, all my soul. Everything that's within me, bless His holy name. He's talking about His mind. He's talking about His will. I mean, just willing a thing, just choosing to be happy or choosing to praise God or choosing to say, glory to God in the highest, you know, just choosing to say it. But do it, then see, that was without the emotion, you know. Glory to God, God's great, God is good, God is fine, you know. Some people kind of worship that way. Their face betrays the beautiful words they're saying. Darling, I love you with all my heart. You're the sweetest wife I ever had, you know. That's the way I used to be. Wife would say, do you love me? Yes. Next question. You know, she said, well, put a little something into it. I can't. I'd be a hypocrite because I don't feel that way, you know. And I was scared of my emotions. You know, I didn't want them to get control of me. You know, I didn't want them to rule me. So I would stay very stiff and so on. And I used to sing, glory to God in the highest. I would do it with a pretty voice, you know, singing, but, you know, my heart wasn't in it. I didn't doing it in faith. I wasn't thinking of God. I was just singing a pretty tune or just standing there. God wants you to worship him with all of your mind, with all of your emotions, all of them. What kind of emotions do you have? Love? Joy? Peace? You know, now look at joy and peace. Peace looks like this, peace, you know. But joy looks like, you know, something else. So you got different emotions is what I'm getting at. And love is, you know, you got all these emotions. God wants you to love him with all of your emotions. Isn't that exciting? Now, this is not your idea. If it was left up to you, you wouldn't do this. Some would major in joy. You got some churches that major in joy. You know, you go there and, you know, I've been to these churches. They're here in the city. And they're bang, bang. And, you know, praise God. That's not all bad. A lot of it's bad to me, but it, according to the Bible, a lot of it's all right. I can't get into all that, but that's my hang-up, some of it. I hope I'm a little bit right. You know, but some of it, I'll tell you why it's bad. It's bad if that's the only thing they ever do. That doesn't bless God if always you come into God's presence making a lot of noise and you leave and the whole thing is just a big football thing. That's not God. God's never like that. He doesn't have one emotion, one stop, one thing. But then neither is it true. Some other churches don't have any of that. And all they've got is the somber, you know, long-faced, you know, and you do your thing and so on and so forth. Others are real intellectual. You sit there like a smart person and so on. You know, all these kind of deals. Hey, we got all of those. And God wants, you know, sometimes I think a whole service could be one way. That's okay. But not every service all the time. You know, like, well, I won't name any churches, but some churches have evangelism messages every Sunday. Well, that's silly. I mean, it's good to save people, but that shouldn't be the whole show every Sunday. When are you going to teach the faithful? Well, I know they have another slot for that, but really there ought to be a worship time for the children of God to worship. Training Union won't do it. So God has such a richness. And in the another church, I don't want to name names here, but it starts with, no. In another church, the only thing they're into, and it's beautiful, as long as it's not the whole thing, and it is the whole thing in this church, unfortunately, is they're into Sobernost. See? You didn't know I knew Russian. Gabarichi Peruski? See? They're into Sobernost, which is they wait in the service. It's all hocus pocus and a lot of incense and a lot of stuff, and they're waiting for God to appear in his resurrected form. Now, one church puts God in the crucified form. He's always up on a cross. And that's the God they kind of think about and look about. It's in the past. But this church doesn't do that. It's equally ancient and equally, you know, historical and medieval and all that. But this one gets into waiting for God to appear. And they wait for that moment when God reveals himself. That's beautiful. But that can't be the whole show. That can't be everything. There's a lot more to blessing God than just that. So we have a mind. And you see, some churches, just our mind, that's all they have. Lots of churches like this. They're just mental churches. In fact, this church here used to be, and I'm not putting it down, but this church, and they're out on the east side now, they don't have any baptismal thing here or any communion thing because they believed it was all mental. You know, they didn't believe you actually did physical things like put water on people and actually drink wine and eat wafers and stuff. They want to get into that physical stuff. They want to be real spiritual. Now, again, I'm not putting them down, but I obviously don't think that's right. You know, Jesus makes it so simple. He's just so plain. You know, he's not super spiritual way up in the sky. Jesus is an ordinary person. He uses bread and wine because those were the available deals in his day, but there's more than that reason, but they were just common. Anybody had them. And water and things like that. Jesus is very simple. Amen? So, again, my point is this, that all these things have their place, but they're out of place and out of balance if we don't bless the Lord. Everything that's within me, bless His holy name. All of it. And God wants that. Now, how do I know which time to do what? How would I know when to be joyous, when to prostrate myself on the floor? That too is part of God. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, I hope there are times when we weep and cry here. Not always have to say, now don't get condemned, no weeping, you know. Hey, there's times we can weep and cry. There's times when we can laugh and dance. There's times when we're just quiet and say nothing. There's times when we're, you know, oh, how do you know? How do you know when to do what? Answer, you don't. Only the Holy Spirit can lead you. How do you know you'll hear Him? You don't. Oh. Well, how do you know then? It's just, it's a mystery. It works, but I don't know how it works. I just know that God will lead us. But if I said God always leads us, Sometimes we do it ourselves. Sometimes we get in the flesh. How many know we're not going to avoid the flesh? Now, the flesh is not helpful, but neither is being so spiritual that you never get into the flesh.
Well, I'm not going to fall into the flesh.
Oh, that right there, you just did. You cannot avoid making mistakes. You cannot avoid, you're going to have to love God as He chooses to be loved. Now, look at all His benefits. Listen to this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And this is the word today. Please, 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 don't forget all His benefits. Remember all His benefits. Here they are. I'm going to list them for you. Remember all His benefits. All His benefits. Here they come. Now, this is what a new Christian needs. If you're a new Christian, you need this. If you're a middle-sized Christian or a middle-aged Christian, you need this. If you're a mature Christian, you need this. This is it. Never forget His benefits. Just think on them all the time. That's what God wants you to do. Think on these benefits all the time. Here they are. First one, He forgiveth all thine iniquities. Oh, praise God. That is the greatest blessing not to forget. If you forgot all the rest of them, which you couldn't because they're all included in this one, but if you forgot all the rest, don't forget this first one. He forgiveth all your iniquities. That is the greatest blessing of all. But don't separate it because it's tied in like a train. The rest of the train can't go on its own. It needs this one. But they are tied together. And if you didn't get some of the others, if some of the cars got derailed, it's okay. If you got this one, you still got enough. But it's all together. God wants you to have all of these benefits. Now, just think on them. These benefits are yours. And there are churches that are built just on this, of remembering His benefits. And that's good. But it can get lopsided too. But I'll talk about that some other time. All right? Forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's number one. Number two is, who healeth all, not some, all thy diseases. All! Isn't there a disease that God can't heal? What is the disease God can't heal? What is it? I forget it again. What is it? There isn't any. He's done them all. You think of a disease and He's healed it. Not once, twice, but hundreds and thousands of times. The problem is, we don't know that. We didn't know that healing is in the atonement. That when Jesus died on the cross, by His stripes, we were healed. It's already been done. You don't have to pray for Him to buy it for you. It's been paid for. The medicine is in. So you've already been healed. That is something that you can claim and make use of. Now, don't misunderstand here. If you, sometimes you can get hung up on healing and lose something more important. You can sometimes so insist on getting healed because you know it's in the atonement, and you know it's been paid for you, that you lose your joy. Or you even lose your faith, or you get condemned because you're hung up on healing. Do you know what I'm saying? I want to know if you know. Because if you know, I can go on. Sometimes you can get too hung up on some of these other benefits. They're not all equal. I'm sorry. They're not all equal. All of the blessings of Abraham are not equal. One is total. The rest are partial. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean one is unconditional. The other is conditional. Healing is conditional, whereas salvation is unconditional. To be forgiven is unconditional. You don't have to do anything. Just believe. But in healing, if you're not right with your wife, if there's sin in your life sometimes, if you don't praise the Lord, I mean, there are lots and lots of conditions for healing. So you understand what I'm saying? Healing has been purchased for us, but you don't have to get hung up on it, even though it's there and you can have it. Don't say, I can't get healed. Don't say that. Don't say this sickness is God's thing. Uh-uh. God doesn't own up to any of it. He paid for it. You don't have to buy that. But don't get hung up on just that or any of these other things. All right? That's another one, is that 1 John, I wish I could turn this, there's just not time. 1 John says, I wish above all that you are in health. Above all, that you're in health. He's talking to believers. He knows they already know forgiveness. So above all, he not only forgives your iniquities, but he heals all your diseases, all of them, all of them. Now, don't tell me, well, I tried that and my experience tells me he doesn't. We don't care about experiences. Experiences are just experiences. They don't change God's doctrine. So you may not understand all that you have, all that he's purchased for you, all that's already been accomplished. It may take you a while to learn that. That's conditional. It's conditional on learning. If you don't know what you have, you won't know it. And so you may walk around sick thinking it's to the glory of God. It's not. You may walk around sick thinking God's using it to his glory. He's not. Now, I know he can do that, but it's not his will. It's not his chief will. It's something that he can do. God can do anything. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. The thief cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now, I'm not going to go through all these in the interest of time. But all of these blessings and benefits are listed here. Listen to them. They're beautiful. He crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, because I'm gentle and so on. He wants to be merciful to us. And the next one is, he satisfies thy mouth with good things. You know, Jesus wants you to eat. He likes you to eat well. Did you know that? That's kind of a dumb one, isn't it? You think that doesn't sound too spiritual. Satisfies your mouth with good things. Well, maybe he means a spiritual word. No, he means food. He wants you, I'm sure he means the other two, but he's talking about food. Did you know that our daily bread comes from God? Do you know that God is an author of every good and perfect gift, and he likes to give you daily your bread? God loves to satisfy your mouth with good things. Not only things to say, I understand that, but also just physical things. He likes to physically take care of you. I have scriptures for all these, but you can come up afterward and I will make you a list if you want to know. Here's what I want to say. Every one of these tells me the will of God. Every one of these tells me that God wants me never to forget his benefits. Listen, the first one is this. He said, I forgive all your iniquities. That means God's will is for my salvation. Don't ever let anyone take that from you. God wants you to be saved. That's the first and highest will of God. So now, if the thought comes to you, I think, you know, I'll never be saved. I don't think I'll ever get the salvation. I don't think I know how to. I don't think even God wants me. Wrong. Forget not that he forgiveth all your iniquities. God's will is for you to be saved. Second of all, God's will is for you to be healed. That is God's will. I told you how and so on, but that's his will. The third one is that God's will is for me to have an abundant life. Did you know that? God wants you to have a happy, abundant, full life. Do you have one? I do. Do you have an abundant life? Is there anything you lack? I don't lack a thing. You say you're talking by faith. Uh-huh. That's all right. I'm still happy, though. Faith or no faith, I'm happy. I feel like I don't have a lack. Now, I've told God some apparent discrepancies, you know. But he's slow to anger. He's also slow to hear sometimes. No. But God will take care of that because he said he wants me to. He's more willing that I should be blessed than I am. God is look, it's his will that I have an abundant life, a happy life, an enjoyable life, a full life. The next one, and on, God's will is for me to experience his love, his mercy, and his favor. He crowns me with loving kindness. God always wants me to, you know, when I fall into sin, When you fall into sin, when you do that, you need mercy. You say, well, I haven't fallen into sin lately. I say, you just did. Because the Bible says, he that says he hath no sin calls God a liar. Therefore, I know you got sin just like I do. Now, you need loving kindness. Isn't it nice to know it's God's will to watch me when I sin? He doesn't want me to, but when he sees I do, it's his will, it's his desire to forgive me. Oh, Jim needs some more forgiveness. Oh, no. Quick, get some more. He's delighted to do that. And Jesus, my advocate, my lawyer, keeps saying, more, more, And that's okay. Praise God. You see, I can believe, when you sin, when you commit a sin, you know what happens to you? Right away, you feel horrible. Ugh, yuck. You feel bad. But you know what? God doesn't want you to feel horrible and bad. He wants you to rejoice, to dance, to praise him, to worship him, to go on, to get up. And he doesn't want you to live in condemnation or in guilt or, under it. So that's what he says is, hey, just confess it. And it's forgiven, just like that. Even before you confess, it's already paid for. So just claim it. Take it. Praise God. God, you mean, did you see? No, boy, you love me? Praise God. It's God's will that I have an abundant life. It's God's will that he be merciful to me. He wants to be. He loves it. That's his job. I would be keeping him unemployed. Yeah. He wants to do that. He likes to do that. All right, satisfy my mouth. God's will is for me to eat well, that is to be physically strong, and so on and so forth. I didn't say eat a lot. I just said eat well. Hello. You have to eat well. All right. It's God's will for his saints to know what he is doing. He says he makes his ways known. God's will is for those who are ill represented. He says he executes justice for the righteous, for the oppressed. That is, it's God's will for those who are not represented well on this earth, who are needy, to be provided for. God's will is for that. Isn't that good to know? If you have anything where you feel you've been unjustly treated, know this. It's God's will to take care of you. It's God's will to do justice toward you. It's God's will. He'll provide a way. Just be patient. God, this is one of his benefits. God is taking care of you. Your situation's in his hands. God is merciful, slow to anger, gracious. It's his will to show us... there's a song. I don't know it, but I know this one line from it. There is a wideness in God's mercy as the wideness in the sea, or something like that. It's a Baptist song, I think. It's a beautiful song. Do you know it, don't you? Yeah. Well, that's the thing about God's mercy. Now, his law is real firm. Well, here it goes. Be perfect. I mean, there's just not a lot of leeway there. But his mercy through the blood is real wide. And it's hard to see what it doesn't cover. The blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, that's what it doesn't cover. It's hard to see what it doesn't cover. His mercy is so wide. When you sin against God, when you commit a sin, deliberate, undeliberate, whatever, when you sin, hey, his mercy will cover that. Isn't that good to know? Thank God that I have a God who's slow to anger. He doesn't judge me the minute I sin. He doesn't judge me. He doesn't, get the lightnings ready. Praise God. Glory to God. God has a sense of humor. Yeah, perfect timing. Anyway, you look it over, you read the rest of this, we don't need to go on. I want you to think about all the blessings of God. Don't forget all of his blessings, all of his benefits. You've got so many benefits, it'd take you a year to figure them all out. Take you forever to figure them all out. But here's a little thumbnail sketch of all the things God has done for you. You have no right to ever be sad. You have no right to not rejoice. God has done so much for you. You've got so many benefits. Think on them. Think on them. Dwell on them. Don't forget them. Keep rehearsing them. Let's sing on them. Let's dance to them. Let's wave banners with them. Let's drive in the car repeating them all the time. God has saved me. God loves me. God's will is that I be healed. God's will is that I walk well. God this, God that. Praise God. You'll never love God. God, I said. You'll never love God. You'll never love yourself. And you'll never love your neighbor until you know that God loves you. He starts the whole thing. Don't try to love God. Don't try to love yourself and don't try to love your neighbor until you know that God loves you. We talked about that last week. But I want to reiterate that. First, you don't love him even. Don't say, oh, I love God. No, the way you're going to grow in your love for God is to realize how much he has done for you. Forget not all his benefits. Just keep rehearsing it. Don't think, oh, I'm still sinning. I guess I'm not grateful. Of course you're not. So what? Here's the thing. God loves you anyway, even sinning and not being grateful. Did you know that? Don't worry about it. God's love for you, that's his will. God just delights to take you as scrappy as you are or as nice as you think you are. He just loves to show mercy to you. And he loves to provide you with everything. This is so good. He will not always chide. You know, he says he chastises those whom he loves. And all the anger of God's been put on Jesus. That's it. And it says he won't deal with us according to our sins. I like that. God's will is to see us through the obedience of Jesus and not in the light of our sins. God never looks at me through my sins. He looks at me through the blood of Jesus. Isn't that nice? When I sin, the devil tells me God's looking at me, at my sin. But God tells me he's not looking at me through my sin. He's looking at me through the Savior. Because my eye's on the Savior, not on my sin. Isn't that good to know? You're looking at your sin. Then you took your eyes off Jesus. Because it's his will not to deal with us according to our sins. Oh, I like that. Because I don't have to then worry about all these sins of mine. You see? I can let God do it. And if you think you're going to just grow up and be sweet, you're wrong. You're going to sin. Even as Christians, when you're born again, you're going to keep sinning. How many have noticed that you continue for months? I know a brother who for 7 months still sinned. You know, yes, sir. You know, you're going to continue to sin. So you better have a Savior that loves you in your sins. I mean, he doesn't love the sin. You don't either. When you're born again, you don't love the sin. I don't like that sin. I wish I was perfect, you see. But I am in his eyes. So praise the Lord. And, you know, who cares what my neighbor thinks? That's his hang-up. That's his sin. If he judges me, he's got a log. Every time he sees something in my life, I know he's got a log. Did you know that? Every time he picks something out and says, you know, he's wrong. You're wrong. If you see a sin in my life and you don't notice that it's just a teeny weeny little speck, you're wrong. You're wrong. Then you got a log in your eye, you see? So I've just got a speck. Now, between me and God is a log, you know, but God doesn't look at logs, you know. He's not looking at logs. He's looking at Jesus. So, log or no log, I just keep my eyes on Jesus, and before I know it, my log is gone. And then I have time to look at your specs. Hello. That's a lot of fun. Because you can help them to realize, because usually the problem in our brothers and sisters is not that they don't know they have sin. It's that they don't know they have a Savior. They don't know that they have someone who will forgive their sin. They don't know they have someone who isn't mad at them for sinning. That's the first truth. That's the greatest truth. God is for you. All right? He won't deal with us according to our sins. That's enough. God is so good. All I want to say is learn to have a good time with God. Learn to enjoy yourself. Do not, you know, somebody, I think it's Susie. I don't know who said this. Somebody said this the other day, and I'm so impressed with it. Do not try to worship God tenderly here first. Learn to worship God joyfully first. That's the hardest thing. Why? Because little Margaret is, you know, when we have devotions, she can, you know, put her hands together and so on. She's what? A year. When? Wednesday. Okay, she's a year old, and she's been doing this for a long, she's very advanced. She's been doing this for quite a while. She can put her hands together like this when we're praying, but she has a big smile on her face, and she doesn't understand. We're going like this, very soberly. Can you see the soberness in my prayer? See, I'm sincere before God, but Margaret is grinning, you know. Now that's just a problem with little ones. They don't understand the sobriety of this thing, you know. Now, I believe I've made a mistake. As a pastor, I have tried to bring people into a devotional walk with God before they've had a fun, joyous walk with God, you see? Now, that won't work because little children start out crawling. You know, they start out giggling. You know, it says, this is something I heard the other day I thought was good. Whenever you give an offering, you should laugh. because it says something about we give with a cheerful heart, you know. Well, you know, you might have a cheerful heart, but, you know, you should let your face know it. You should laugh, ha, 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 you know, every time you give an offering. You should be, God loveth a cheerful giver, ha, 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 you know. Well, I think it's that kind of thing that God wants, is to, that's our faith. You couldn't laugh unless you knew how much God loved you. Because otherwise, you know, Margaret doesn't pay any attention when she falls down and when she makes a mess in her diapers. She doesn't think, oh, I've done wrong. You know what? She's just giggling and, you know, she'll be getting it all over and, you know, she's just having a ball. She really is, because she knows we love her. And she's just super happy, you know. That's the way Christians should be. When you're first getting in, let the parents do it all. She doesn't do a thing. We've tried to get her to take out the garbage. She won't do it. We've tried to, you know, she's just disobedient. No matter what we say, you know, no, you know. But we love her, you see. And she's learning, but it's going to take a long time before she becomes, you know, really obedient. Right now, she's just doing her thing. And we love her that way. That's the way God is with you. Isn't that good to know? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to get in on this, you're already big. You're not like Margaret. So you've got to do it in faith. You've got to be a child in faith. You've got to be a child in faith. So let's be more childlike. Just making an act of will. Say sophistication and all that kind of stuff. Sit on the back shelf for a while. Because God wants us to bless Him with everything that's within us. To bless His holy name. And you're not going to learn to be devotional first. You're going to learn to be joyful first. So we're going to bring out the banners and the balloons from time to time and teach you how to do things that will help you to grow in the Lord. Isn't this a fun message? You know, it's harder to rejoice than it is to look scowling. You know, we've got that scowling church look. You know, it's hard really to rejoice. You know, it takes a lot of effort to smile. It really does. I know they say it's fewer muscles and all that, but not emotionally. Emotionally speaking, it's a lot easier to look kind of plain and so on than it is to smile. I don't want to smile. You know, I don't feel like rejoicing. Oh, we got to put up our hands here, you know. You know, okay, we have to dance now, you know. You know, we just feel awkward doing that because we don't like being little children. We want to look good. We want to impress somebody. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father God, as we come to your table now, we come not to a sober, somber table. We come to the Lord's table to celebrate that Jesus Christ has given us everything we need and more. Not only everything we need, everything we want. No, even more than that. Even things we didn't even know we needed and wanted that you knew would be good for us. Oh God, we thank you that as we come celebrating today, sitting down at table, which is always a happy event, not a downcast eye event, but to celebrate the fact that your death and your resurrection has afforded us freedom from every sin and fear and doubt and death and hell and wrath and everything that's negative, and has allowed us to walk in newness of life, allowed us to walk with a lightness in our step, allowed us to know who we are in Christ, and allowed us to be children, not worrying whether we make mistakes or not, but knowing that you'll teach us in due time as we begin to grow. Oh, we thank you and praise you, dear God. We want to come now as friends to your table. We want to come as those that are welcome. Anyone here who confesses their sin and humbly believes in the name of Jesus Christ is welcome. We just thank you, Lord God, that your table is open. Whosoever will may come. That enemies might become friends, and that friends might enter into the joy of their master. Hallelujah. In Jesus' holy name, amen.